Hey everybody, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about five Christmas predictions. Five things that I think happen every Christmas with my dyslexia, and I just wonder how many of these you can relate to. Maybe a few tips in here to get through them as well. So let's dive into this little list. Okay, everyone. So these are kind of my five Christmas predictions. I've been thinking back over the years. What are things that seem to happen at some degree on repeat every year that I would put down to the way I think? Because everyone thinks a little bit differently. And don't get me wrong, I think some people, non-dyslexic, non-ADHD, will have similar challenges. But these are very specific ones that I found. And I wonder how many of these you truly relate to. Now, the first is buying Christmas presents. Now, I don't know about you, but there's two ways someone with ADHD or dyslexia buys Christmas presents. The first, and if you're like me, you overthink about them too much, and then you rush to buy them on the 24th of December when everyone else is doing it. And you usually get it pretty done, but it's always a funny last minute rush. I used to beat myself up a little bit about this, but now I just embrace it. And I occasionally get a few bits as we go along, but very rarely. Let's just say it wouldn't match it. The other type of dyslexic ADHD person is potentially more of a mother figure or someone who's could be a father, could be anyone, but they overbuy early. They're done shopping by the 1st of December. They've got everything they need. You know, they don't want anything to go wrong, and they buy early. So I wonder which one of those you are, or have you made the transition to purchasing over a period of time that's a bit more logical? I'm guessing majority of my listeners, there's probably a lot of 24th buyers in there and a few that have learned that lesson too many times going wrong, so they'll do it the opposite way. Now, two. Routines will slip. Something I do find myself every Christmas period, and you know, I'm in New Zealand, so it's Southern Hemisphere, so it's summer over here. So we get kind of our summer holiday and Christmas all rolled in, so we take a good bit of a break. But what I do find is that 2 week period, you know, days start to roll into each other, and you start forgetting what the weekend is. And, you know, I know for me, if I don't keep on top of going for a walk in the morning or meditating, those things will just slip because there are different people in different parts of the house at a different time. We're going away to different places. So we'll be in different locations, which can be really good when you're planning for the year coming up, but it can also really break quality routines that you've built up all year. And I know for me, I've got to be very aware that I don't let that happen too much. Not sure about you as well. I find also you end up eating food that you don't really feel like. And yeah, it's very, I don't know, for me, it's that shift in routine really affects me, especially when those days roll into one. It'll be interesting this year because we've had our biggest COVID lockdown, which was, it counted up to 107 days in New Zealand in a row, which was pretty intense. And so we've actually had some of that kind of Christmas routine breaking early this year, and we've kind of learned how to deal with it a little bit better. Not perfectly by any means, but it won't be far off. The only difference will be the travel and the external areas. But, you know, if you're like me, routines, you have to be extra vigilant with your mind. And, you know, one day one part of your mind will say, hey, just take a break, don't worry about it, let yourself off. And then 3 days later, you're like, oh my God, what am I doing? This is all going wrong. My life is not great. You know, if that makes any sense. So we've got to be very cautious about beating ourselves up a little bit. Number three, and you know, just before I go, like, I'm going to be using To-Do List Bingo, and I'm going to test that out. There's a podcast about it a while back. Plus, we sell the course for like $7. It'll be in the footer. But I'm going to be using that every day and seeing how that affects and works for me. It's looking good already. I've started using it on weekends, and that's been super helpful. Three, so overstimulation. This is another real ADHD side of dyslexia trait. We get very, very stimulated. We get very, very... you can sometimes find yourself running a whole day just looking for the next hit of stimulation. I find that I sometimes start watching a football game I'm a Premier League fan in England, soccer, for the Americans out there. So I watch that in the mornings due to time zones. I then sometimes find myself playing video games where I can, or I can find myself going from one stimulating point to the next. And, you know, same with food or drink or partying or whatever it is. I've just got to be very aware and very intentional that I don't fall into an overstimulation period. You know, I swear I've done that for a week or two before, and you survive through it, but it doesn't ever feel like you're moving forward. And what you think is a rest or a break is not actually letting your body rest, because it's always stimulated. It's always on a high of some sort. Even, you know, you never actually let yourself rest. So I do want to meditate more this year. I do want to properly slow down and not just run from one stimulant to the next over the break. That's another key thing I notice. Number four, can I read my own handwriting? This is also another challenge of dyslexia. This is why To Do Bingo exists. I'm still be shocked when I reflect. So one of the things I find is, you know, I really believe this, is we underestimate how long things will take in a short term, but we overestimate how long things will take in the long term. So I always look back for 12 months. I love doing it. It's my favorite part of the holiday season, is looking back what's happened over the last year. And even now I look at some of the things that have happened, like we're moving out of this house. We've bought another house this year. It would disgust you. House prices going up in New Zealand is crazy, crazy money at the moment. So we were very lucky at what we did. It was right time. What else? You know, I got engaged. You know, we survived 107 days of lockdown. I think if that was the only thing that I did this year, I'd be pretty happy. I gave up vaping, smoking, which has been amazing. That's a huge step. I also did 8 to 9 months sober, which was pretty awesome. And very, very, just pretty, pretty darn awesome. So I'm, you know, when I reflect on some of these things, when I really look at my whole life timeline, I go, wow, those are some great things I did this year. You know, I'm proud of that. That's awesome. I don't need to do any more than that. I don't need to rush life, but I'm really proud of those changes. And so, you know, it sometimes shocks me how much I've achieved, especially when I think back to days where I just feel like I've achieved nothing and the world is, you know, I can't see beyond the moment I'm in. Does that ring true with you? You can't see past where you are in life. You can't slow yourself down long enough to go, actually, I'm going in the right direction. It's a bumpy patch on the road, but I'm still on the right road. And I think sometimes I find that that's a bit frustrating, that doesn't always work naturally in the way my brain thinks in a line, which it definitely doesn't. And then number five on my list is I will need a holiday after my holiday to recover from the holiday. I don't know about you, but I always find sometimes after a holiday, I'm more tired than, you know, it feels like I'm tireder because of the holiday, because so much has changed in my routine. You know, I've kind of summed this up as the first week or two of work after a holiday is kind of my half-half. So I get all my routines back for a couple of weeks, but I lower the stress and pressure on myself wherever possible. So that could be, I'm very blessed to work for myself, so I can try and make sure I don't overbook myself, or I work half days for a week or two if I can help it. So I can get back into my routines, but with a little bit less pressure, but still with that structured routine happening, and maybe installing a couple of new ones. But I definitely know that after my holidays, although I love them, I love the experiences, gosh, they're tiring. And you know, it's like, you know, when our routines aren't automatic, there's a lot more pressure on our brains to be thinking about how do we solve something. Like, if, for example, if I know exactly what I'm wearing and we go away and I haven't planned that very well for whatever reason, not that planning is not always my best skill, I might not have the right clothes or the right number of clothes, or I'll be missing a sock or something silly. And you know, I've got to solve these problems that I wouldn't have had in my day-to-day routine. So that's why I need a holiday after my holiday. So, and you know, this year for us, we're moving house as well. So it's like, you know, just layer it all on top of each other. But yeah, that's what I wanted to share today, guys, is those are five things I notice about my Christmases with dyslexia and the way my brain works and how I operate. How does your brain operate? Is there something you think of? If you're on Spotify, I'm going to try and open it up where you can actually leave an answer. I do read them, so I'll give it a crack this time. It's a bit of technology that's a bit different. Or you're welcome to pop what you think through our contact form on our website, truthaboutdyslexia.com. Thank you to everyone who's been sharing the podcast. Really appreciate it. I'll be trying to do all of these through the Christmas break, so you shouldn't have to wait. And if there's any topics you'd like to hear about, you can always ask. Have an epic rest of your day.